Well, good morning. How beautiful was that? It's amazing, as Mr. Cheeseman said. It's their feast just as it is our feast, and to hear them be a part of that in song is just beautiful. I'd like to welcome, too, everyone on the webcast. I remember back many years ago when our children were young, we had to miss a feast. It would have been great to have the webcast or some way then to be a part of it. So we are so blessed and grateful to have that. So those who could not physically be at the feast can still be a part of what God has blessed us with here. I want to talk a little bit about change, because change is something that happens all through our life. And change can be good, change can also be bad. But I also want to talk about some things that should not change, especially for Christians. I remember when I was a teenager, the thing was to be cool. We all wanted to be cool. Some were, some weren't. But we gave it a shot. Then I remembered when I was a young teenager, I wanted to be in a band. I wanted to play music because that was cool. So I bought a set of drums, got in a band, played music, had a good time, was very cool. Then we were called into the church. Had to change, had to make a change, because I couldn't continue playing the kind of music we were playing, couldn't continue playing in the places we were playing music. So I had to give that up. But being in the church was a very positive change. And then as time went on, I had always wanted a Corvette. Who doesn't want a Corvette? What guy does not want a Corvette? Always wanted one, and the reason we want them is because they're cool. I got one. I bought a 74 Corvette. It's parked in an old field by a barn. And I bought it, had to do some work on it, but the car was cool. And I thought, got it made now. People will envy me as I stand next to my beautiful, cool Corvette because I'll be cool too. Had T-tops. And I would ask my wife, I said, let's go take a ride. And she would say, well, you know, with the T-tops off, it messes my hair. Of course, I couldn't relate to that. I just wanted to be cool. But that changed as well, because by the time I started making repairs on it, which were outrageous to keep that car on the road, I sold it and got onto other things. Now, and some of you can probably relate to this, now when I'm in a conversation standing around with two or three seniors, I still want to be cool, so I let them know that my wife bought us a matching set of pillboxes. Things change. We all do. There was a movie out, and I'm certainly not here to push Hollywood, but there was a movie out a while back, and one of the characters played a prisoner. He had been in prison for 40 years. And he had come up for parole before and was always denied. But after 40 years, he came up for parole again. And as he went in and faced the parole board, they asked him the question, did he feel that he was rehabilitated? And he looked at the guy and he said, Sonny, I don't even know what that means. He said, if you're asking me if I'm sorry for what I did, Yes. He said, not a day goes by that I'm not sorry for what I did. He said, but that 22-year-old mixed-up boy that committed that awful crime is gone. He said, in his place is this old man. And he said, I wished I could go back and shake this young man up and help him to realize that there's more to life than living it the way he was living it. And that's true in some of our lives. That young 18-year-old who wanted to be in a rock band is gone. That young man who wanted a Corvette is gone. I still have the pillbox. I told you some things never change. But, you know, God gives us an opportunity to do that, to go back, not for ourselves so much, but actually we could include ourselves in this. He gives us an opportunity to look at life, to look at the correct way to live our lives, but not only for ourselves, but to teach our children and grandchildren. We have that opportunity. We want to read some verses here in Deuteronomy 6 that we're all pretty familiar with. But what I want to do is let's think about what's being said here. Let's think about the instruction God is giving us, because it will help us, young or old, to get through life, to be successful as a Christian, to grow spiritually, to draw closer to God and closer to each other. So let's look at that. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 6, and we'll begin in verse 1. Deuteronomy 6 and in verse 1. It says, now this is a commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Positive instruction, helpful instruction, instruction to help us to live a long life, to live a happy life, a life with purpose. And we go on in verse 3, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And as we look at our country, what a blessing God has given this nation. We have everything we could ever want here, everything we will ever need. And it goes on in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And we heard about that earlier in the feast. That God's way should be our way, in our mind, in our heart, in our whole being. This is who we are. This is what we desire. This is the life we want. We want to make the necessary changes to please our Creator God, to please our family. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Do your neighbors know you? What about your community, the little town you live in, the area you live in the country, your neighbors, do they know you? What kind of a person you are? because of what you do, what you say, how you live, the example you set. Do they know you? And is that example an example that helps them to see there's something different about this person, about this family? And in verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. So in the beginning, God has given us his creation, given mankind instruction on how we should be living our lives, on the things we need to do to be a good father, to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good leader, a good person in our community. But it means that we change some of the things we may have been doing for years. The Feast of Tabernacles is something God's people look forward to keeping every year. And as the feast gets closer, the excitement, the anticipation is more visible. The feast is in all of our conversations because it's such a great time. God brings us here to bring us out of the world. We don't have to be stressed out. We don't have to worry about what CNN or Fox is talking about. God gives us an opportunity to get away from those things. Gives us an opportunity to come before his throne together as his children, to spend time with each other, to spend time with him. We RSVP'd his invitation. We will be there. We will be there to honor you, to glorify you, to talk about you, to live our lives your way, to set an example for the others around this area that see us, that serve us. And we're here. Young or old, the feast is a special gift from God. As Mr. Cheeseman mentioned, for old and young and all in between. This is God's feast and it's for all of us. But we learn something new about God each year. We listen to the different messages. And although we may have heard those scriptures before, there's always something different about the messages because they're inspired. I know I speak for the other men who are up here. We pray about it, and we appreciate your prayers. Many people have told me, Mike, I'm praying for you. You don't know how much I appreciate that, and I know the other men do as well, because that's where our courage comes from, to be up here. Talking with you, doing our best to represent God and serving here at the feast and making it as positive for God's people as we can and make it an event that you'll remember and that we'll take back home. And this will carry us through the next year as we think about all the things we did, the new people we met, the experiences we had. We listened to many messages during this feast. The sermons, sermonettes, the Bible studies. Excellent information that God wants us to hear. And this year was no exception. Every year we celebrate the feast by honoring and praising God. That's the reason we're here. The place where we're keeping the feast may be different than last year. This area is fantastic. We love the mountains, and we have an abundance. And the area is great. The weather's been great. The place we're keeping the feast may be different last year. Our personal situation may be different than when we kept the feast last year. Maybe we got married since last feast. Maybe we had a child born. Maybe we lost a loved one. Maybe we bought a new car or a new home. Big decisions. Maybe we've started a new job or a new school. A lot of changes take place during the year between the feast. And most importantly, we may have been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ since the last feast. That's a big deal. That's a big change, as we all know. But time goes on, and so does life. Many changes take place over time. And how do we react to those changes? What do we do? Believe it or not, you and I are not the same person we were a year ago. One obvious thing is we're a year older. A year older physically, and hopefully and prayerfully, a year wiser spiritually, because things change. It's a different time in our lives. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there's a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. And we know that. We live our lives every day, and we have experienced some of these things mentioned here in Ecclesiastes. All of the messages we've heard during these past 7 days are given to help us stay focused, to not lose sight of why we are here, who brought us here, what our number one goal in life should be. And that's really the basis of my message today. Let's turn to Matthew 6:33, and this scripture was mentioned in a message the other day. But this is so important. I remember, and many of you will remember, and for those of you who are new, Mr. Armstrong used to talk a lot about two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that really described people's lives. How do we live our life? Do we want to take from the tree of life or from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Adam and Eve had that choice. But we heard Mr. Armstrong say that over and over and over and over, because it's so important that we get it, that we understand it. And I think this scripture is one just like that one. When we read it, do we get it? Does it mean anything other than some words? Because it's the key. It's what binds us all together. It's why we're here. Matthew 6:33. But seek first. Nothing else takes first place in our lives, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To become like God, that's our goal. That's why we're here. God has called us out of the world to bring us here, to bring us the Sabbath services, to give us the understanding as he opens our minds to be able to read and understand what this book says. Things in our life have changed. Circumstances have changed. And we come to the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ and how they fit into our lives. Or better yet, how we fit into their lives through the calling that God the Father has called us to. It's a full-time job seeking to be in the very kingdom, in the presence of God and Jesus Christ for eternity. But Christ warned us that being a Christian would not be easy. He experienced challenges all through his human life. Let's turn to Matthew 10, if you would. Matthew 10 and in verse 22. It says, "And you," talking to us, talking to the people that God has called out of the world to make changes in the way they live their life, in the way they do things. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." I am always in awe of the people who have been in God's church for years and years and years and endure many hardships, endure many trials, and they're still here. Or they die in the faith, never giving it up, never putting anything before seeking God's kingdom. Although their lives have changed, the way they live it changed. Since you and I have made the decision to live our lives according to God's will, instead of our own will, instead of having to be cool as I always wanted to be, I realize God's a lot cooler. And I should be like him. But it's required that you and I change some things in the way we live our lives. We can't be the same. Just think back a few short years ago, months ago. What were you doing before God called you? How were you living your life before God opened your mind to understand his purpose for mankind? We all come from different parts of the country, or different parts of the world in some cases. We were raised during different times in our country's history. Different things going on, and that affected us in different ways. We were raised by different parents. We chose different careers. And then as we became parents, we raised our children differently. And maybe our neighbor, maybe our friends, maybe even some family members. As grandparents, we spoil our grandchildren, but we do that the same. That doesn't change, does it? Grandparents love to spoil the grandchildren. And that's a good thing that it doesn't change. But our children and grandchildren are blessed with the advantage. Because if we take what we're taught in Deuteronomy 6 as parents and grandparents and teach those to our children and grandchildren as we're instructed to do, they will want this life as we want this life. They will see the good. They will get to know our Creator God and his purpose for them. But that responsibility is on you and I, as parents and grandparents, to teach our young people, to help them understand. And the main thing we can do is set the example. Do we believe what God has called us to believe? Or are we just here to fill a seat? We either believe it or we don't. We either live it or we don't. God gives us that opportunity. He gives us the freedom to do that. But we're all here. Nobody made us come. We want to be here. We desire to be here. We want our children and grandchildren to be here. We want to help them understand. Not only do we have a great relationship with our Creator, we want them to have it as well. And we want to get to know one another, and we want to have a relationship. We were able to attend the feast a few years ago in Sarnia, Ontario. There were 90 people there. And I told my wife, and she agreed. I said, shame on us if we can't at least meet everybody here during this feast. And we were able to do that. That was amazing. We had never been to a small feast site like that. But wouldn't it be great if we could do that here? To meet everybody? That's a lot to ask because of time. But we can give each other a smile, a greeting, because that's what God expects from us. We all are here to learn, to grow, to take back home and get us through another year of living in a world that does things contrary to God's way. So not only do mom and dad and grandpa have to make changes in their lives, so do young people. Remember this feast. This family, God's family, belongs to all of us. And we all can participate. And we all should participate. But things changed. 1 Corinthians, if you turn there, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And in verse 11, again, a very familiar verse, but we need to think about this. Is this talking about me? Is this talking about you? When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Have we put away childish things, meaningless things, and put as our priority to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? That should be our daily motivation. As we get up and we get on our knees and we begin the day in prayer, Father, help me to seek Your kingdom. Help me to seek Your righteousness. Because that's what's going to get us through. That's what's going to bring us back here next year. That's what's going to keep us focused. Because Satan, as we know, is like a roaring lion. He wants to devour us, destroy us. And he will do everything possible to do that. But we are God's children. We have the Creator of everything watching over us, protecting us, helping us. We have to remember that. But we also have to let God know, as King David did, what's in our heart. Does my heart, does your heart desire God's kingdom above everything? Because that's what God would want. And hopefully that's what we want. I envy the young people here. And I hope you know, young people, how much we respect what you go through to come here to the feast. I know how it was with our children, and I worked in the public schools, so I know what it takes and the efforts you make to get excused from school, to come here, to bring your homework so you don't get behind, to miss activities that other kids are back there participating in at your schools. You just started a part-time job at McDonald's to make some change, and you had to leave there to come here. That's a sacrifice, because you're putting God first. You're putting His kingdom first. We look at you, and we respect that. We understand that. It doesn't matter what your age is. We all want the same thing. We want to be happy. We want to be safe. We want to be comfortable as we live our lives. God, through His Holy Spirit, gives us insight here at the feast, how we can have this for eternity. I was thinking about that this morning, how great it is to get up in the morning and just not have to be stressed, not have to worry about what's going on over here or over there. I know we need to continue to pray about things and the things that are going on, but we're here for a bigger purpose. We're here in the presence of our Creator, invited here for this special time to be with Him. And as we read on in Matthew 6:33, God says, if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He will supply all of our needs. Now, we may need a car to get back and forth to work, and God provides a 72 Pinot, and you were hoping for a Lincoln. God still provided what you needed. And we have to accept those things. It says nowhere that God will give us everything we want, but He will give us everything we need. And He does that. Continuously does that. He takes care of us. The human race has lost sight of its special relationship with its Creator. Can we imagine a world? And we get a little bit of that here, but a world who is worshiping God. Everybody is worshiping God and honoring Him, thanking Him, glorifying Him, thanking Jesus Christ for our life, our eternal life. I've met, and I'm sure many of you have, in God's church, members who are very successful. They have businesses. They work for big companies. They are very successful. They work hard. They've got themselves educated. And they spend their money wisely. But they put God first. And that's what makes everything else work. And we can look at an example of someone who had everything, but didn't put God first. Let's look at that. Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. And in verse 16, Matthew 19 and in verse 16. You know, I was laid awake last night because as you know, if you're speaking later on in the feast and the messages are up here and you keep hearing your scriptures being picked off one by one. Oh, they used that in an analogy better than I did. So you mark that one off. So I laid awake last night redoing this 20 times. But then I remembered, well, a lot of people, as I mentioned earlier, were praying, so I'm just going to go with what I came with. But I looked at this and I thought, this example here of this young man who has everything, and in the end has nothing. In Matthew 19 and in verse 16, it says, "Now behold, one came and said to Christ, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" What can I do? How can I change? What do I need to do? And so he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." As God told you and I, as we read those Ten Commandments, God's law, and we realized, because God inspired us through his Holy Spirit to understand that and realize those are still in effect. We should still be keeping those. Those were not done away with. This is God's law. This is the success to a happy life, the key to a happy life. And in verse 18, he said to him, "Which ones?" And that's what the world does a lot today. They pick and choose. "Well, I'll keep this one, but I won't keep that one because it's inconvenient." But he's asking Christ here, "Which ones should I keep?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" "Done all of these things." And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect," and that's what we are trying to achieve, perfection. To be perfect as God is perfect. And Christ told him here, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Make some changes in your life. What you think is important may not be so important. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Something more important. Something that occupied all of his time and energy. Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. Jesus Christ was asked a question. Again, all of these scriptures are very familiar, but I think we need to really think about these. How many times have we read them, thought about them, prayed about them, meditated on them, even fasted, so that we get a clearer and better understanding? How does this affect me? What do I need to do so that I can understand these scriptures better, so that I can adhere to God's instruction better than I do now? Matthew 22 and in verse 36, Jesus Christ was being asked a question here. "Teacher, which is a great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And in verse 39, "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." I'm still learning how to truly love God. I'm still learning. And it's difficult at times to love my neighbor. To really love my neighbor. And most of the difficulties that I have doing that are self-made. Because I have excuses. I have reasons. Yeah, the guy next door. Yeah. Oh, some of these church people. We put barriers up ourselves instead of doing very simply what God tells us to do. Love him and love each other. That's what God is asking us to do. Very simple. But we continue to do the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome. And we're not going to get a different outcome. If we don't do what God commands us to do, the outcome is not going to change. It will not change until we seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and allow Him to make those changes within us, to take down those barriers, to help us through His Holy Spirit to realize we're creating these barriers ourselves, and to knock them down and to not allow that. You and I are not alone. As we grow in the faith and knowledge of doing things God's way, God has called many others who had to make huge, difficult changes in order to follow God and be obedient to Him. Noah has been on my mind, and I think he's been on my mind because we had an opportunity a while back to stop up in Ohio and look at the Ark. I'm not sure if any of you have done that or not, but it's quite a boat. But to be there and see the size of that boat, that Ark, and to know that this was given to Noah to do, to build something like that, to save mankind. And he didn't have a Lowe's, he didn't have a Home Depot, didn't have those battery-powered tools that we can do anything with. We all look good with the tools we have today. Well, most of us. Sometimes my wife says, "What is that that I built?" But Noah didn't have that. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And in verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth." How would you or I like to be responsible for that? To put God in this position where he's sorry he made man because of me or because of you. That's sad. But that was where mankind had gotten itself, because they did not listen. They didn't obey God. But in verse 8, "But Noah, but Bill, but Sam, but Susie, but Betty, but Mike found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Because we listen. We want His love. We want His instruction. We want His forgiveness. We want to be in His kingdom. We want to be His child. We want a future with Him and Jesus Christ, so we listen. Out of all the people on the earth, Noah was the only one who caught God's attention in a positive way. One man. What you and I do, does that matter? It certainly does to God. The decisions we make, the things we do, what comes out of our mouth, what's in here, it all matters to God. Can we even begin to imagine ourselves in Noah's place? The one person God chose, along with his family, to build an ark so that their lives and the lives of animals would be saved and not destroyed, as God brought a flood upon the whole world, destroying everything. God even gave clear instructions to Noah how to save himself and his family. Let's look at verse 14. verse 14 of chapter 6 in Genesis. It says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width, 50 cubic, and its height, 30 cubics. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to the cubic from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Now, Noah could have taken it upon himself, as we do sometimes, men. I shouldn't say that, as I do. We'll get instructions with something and kind of put them over on the side. I probably don't need all those screws. I probably can do it with this pair of pliers and bent screwdriver. I can put this together. What if Noah would have done that? Come on, God, I know how to build a boat. I can do this. I know a couple shortcuts. He followed God's instruction to save his life. God has given you and I instruction so we can save our life. We have to listen. We have to do it as God instructs, and not our way. Thankfully, there was not a Home Depot for Noah, because as a man, I could just see him running off. You know, that's really kind of a man's sanctuary, because I don't know too many wives that like to go to the Home Depot or Lowe's. So we can all get away, can't we, guys? We say, well, I got to fix this. I got to go to Home Depot. See you when I get back. Noah didn't have that. But being a man, having the tools, he could have very easily said, come on, God. I know how to do this. I've got a way that'll work. But he didn't. As it says in verse 22 of chapter 6 in Genesis, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Did it God's way. The right way. Didn't look for shortcuts. Didn't look for another way. Do you and I follow God's instructions for building our ark? For keeping God's law? For being obedient? To going to him in a time of need on our knees? Seeking his counsel, seeking his companionship, seeking his healing, seeking his wisdom. That's why we're here. It's what this feast is all about. We're preparing. We're preparing to teach a world what God has taught us. A world that is confused and hurting and deceived. But God has called you and I here for a purpose, to build this ark for mankind, for salvation, for eternal life. What an opportunity we have. And all the instruction is right here. And all we have to do is look at it, follow it, depend on it, not stray from it, not become smarter than God, because that will never happen. But to be thankful that God has brought us here, to come here to rejoice and be thankful. We are the most blessed people in North Carolina today, without a doubt. And there's many more around the world who are keeping God's holy days. What a fantastic opportunity God has given us. But we have to remember when we leave here, to remember, write it in our foreheads, talk about it in our conversations. Make it a number one priority to seek first, without any hesitation, without any thoughts of going a different way. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's why we're here. That's what God expects. We can help each other with that. We're family. That's what we do. So let's remember what this feast is all about. What we got out of this feast. Personally, what did I get? What did you give me out of this feast? What did I give you out of this feast? What did God give us all? What a fantastic time. I pray that we're all here next year, and I hope we will all do that. And I hope the crowd, if we have a building this size, we'll have to get a bigger one. And God can do that. But brethren, this world is changing so fast. This is a much more dangerous world than we lived in a year ago. And it's getting more dangerous every day. We need God. We need His kingdom. We need His righteousness. We need to live God's way of life. So let's do that. Let's make a pledge to ourselves that we are going to keep in our minds, in the forefront of our minds, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and come back here next year with the same mindset. Father, we're still seeking Your kingdom. We're still seeking Your righteousness. And we've changed since last year. We've made changes because of that, because of having that as our goal. So let's continue on. Another year ahead of us. We have tomorrow, fantastic holy day. What a blessing God gives us through His holy days. But let's think about this feast, 2017. Let's take all of the messages that we've heard and keep them in our minds and in our hearts. And if we do as we're instructed, as God has commanded us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, we will all be back here next year, continuing to grow in our love for God, but our love for each other as well. So let's thank God for this feast, for each other, for the opportunities we have that are endless, and just thank Him for the peace that He gives us here during this feast, that we can be together, honoring Him, glorifying Him by what we think, what we say, and what we do as we seek His kingdom and His righteousness.